Welcome to the Striving Together podcast, a podcast for the Imago Dei Church family to help us follow Jesus together in the grace of his gospel. My name is Kilo Facey, and I serve as the pastor for family discipleship here at IDC. And I'm joined today by Sam Ammons and Laura Steele. Thank you guys for having this conversation today. So today we're going to be discussing the topic of following Jesus when my family doesn't. This is a relevant topic for many at IDC. Some are about to go home for the holidays and may be the only Christians in their families, and others may be the only Christians in their own household. Either way, we want to be an encouragement. We want to encourage one another in these challenges and exhort one another to keep being faithful. So we want to start with our first question. Sam and Laura, can you tell us a little bit about how you came to faith and how your relationship with your family adjusted as a result of that? We'll start with you, Sam.
Sure. Yeah. So the short end of the story is I grew up in an atheist household. We actually were pretty antagonistic to Christians together. I remember having conversations with my dad, looking at TV, seeing Christians in the news, like things like Westboro Baptist Church. So not like the best example of Christians, but just kind of condemning that, lamenting that, and hating that. Went to college in my first semester. I was on the cross country team, and my teammates were just solid believers, loved me, invited me over. We hung out a lot, and yeah, they shared the gospel with me many times. They were patient with me. It took a while. It took me a while to receive that, but the Lord broke me. And by Christmas that year, 2011, I prayed for the first time, and the Lord saved me.
So, praise the Lord, brother. That's good, man.
Yeah.
That's good. Thanks for sharing that. How about you, Laura?
Yeah, I was raised in the Bible Belt where, you know, everyone went to church. It was culturally acceptable. We didn't know anyone who didn't go to church on Sundays. So we went to church and were religious and did our duty on Sunday. And then during the week, we just lived our life. And so I went away to college and I was taking a class and sat by this youth minister in that class. And little did I know, his whole team of youth workers were praying for my salvation. And one particular night, the Lord literally pulled me out of darkness, and I didn't really know what I was doing, but just prayed to the Lord that he would change my life and save me and make me new, and I just needed something different. And the next day, I knew something had changed. And so that day, I went to class and sat by the youth minister, and he said, "Hey, what are you doing this weekend?" And I said, I don't know, actually. And I didn't know because I knew I'd be doing something different. And he said, "I've got a disciple now," which I didn't know what that was. But he said, "Would you want to come and hang out with some kids?" And I said, "Yeah." And that was really the start of my faith journey.
Amen. Thanks for sharing that. So just thinking about our brothers and sisters here at IDC and the relationships they have, what kind of tips would you give them for navigating the relation like dynamics? Let's start with you, Laura.
Yeah, I think it's challenging when your family is not saved. And so I think the first thing is just to pray before you're spending time with them, that the Lord would give you wisdom and patience and that you would be able to encourage them. And so just, I would say prayer is the first thing, most important thing.
Okay, start with prayer. Yeah. What would you add to that, Sam?
Yeah, so I think one, it does take a recognition, a reminder that the Lord is the one who saves. There's a lot of pressure that you can put on yourself. And even just trying to come up with all the right things to say. I think we do this already in just personal evangelism, but when we add our family to as the person we're trying to evangelize, it makes it more difficult. And so just remembering that the Lord is the one who saves. And so we have to do our part. And I would also say there's a right balance to have between relational love and gospel truth. And I think sometimes we forget the right balance and we might swing towards one side or the other. So we might want to come home and just throw the Bible down my dad's throat. And that's not necessarily the best way to go. But we also don't want to just be cautious and take our time so much that we forget to bring up. So we have to have the right balance of relationship and sharing the gospel. And so that's a hard thing to navigate, but we need to work on that balance.
You know, when I became a believer, I didn't have that balance. Mm. I remember saying to my dad, you need to become a believer. And I'm literally arguing with my dad about becoming a believer. I'm like, I don't think that's the right posture to have. It's a saying that reminds me, you take their nose off and give them a rose to smell, you know? And so that's definitely, I can attest to what you just said. Mm. Okay, you guys have shared with us what to do. And Sam, you shared a little bit about what not to do. Laura, anything you would advise not to do?
Yeah, I would say, similar to your story, my first Christmas as a Christian, I went home and said, instead of giving everybody what they want on their list, I'm going to give everybody a Bible. Mm. And so I wrapped up new Bibles for the whole family. Mm. And then in their stocking, instead of giving them what they actually asked for, I gave them, at the time, which was years ago, Oswald Chambers, His Utmost for His Highest. So everyone got a new Bible and a new devotional. Yeah. And no one was very impressed. And no one came to the Lord that year. Mm. So I would say that's definitely something not to do. And as far as just shoving the Bible down your family's throat. That's not very loving kind. So
it's helpful. Yeah. Sam, anything else you would add about what not to do?
No, I would just refer back to the balance. You want to share the gospel. And so maybe you have to put in an accountability rhythm, like every five conversations I have, I'm going to try to share Jesus or something like that. But you also need to honor your father and mother. Yeah. And they're not believers, but there's a way to do that to a non-believer.
That's helpful, guys. So let me ask you, do you think it would be easier to just not gather with your family just to avoid all the awkwardness and attention that may come from that?
It would be totally easier.
Okay.
I mean, it's not the right thing, but it would be, I mean, just being honest, it's awkward. Yeah. My own family has other things going on apart from being non-believers that make it more awkward and have tension. But it would be easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you affirm that as well?
I would agree.
Yeah. So what causes you guys to continue to engage?
You know, I think for me, I've got the relationship with these people. I love them. They're my family. It is my deepest desire that they walk with the Lord. And so if we don't share the gospel with them, how are they going to hear? How are they going to know? And so we want to be able to share the gospel, and also we want them to see the gospel. So if we're not spending time with them, they're not going to see us being compassionate and caring and kind. They're not going to see our life. It's easy to say, I'm a Christian family and I'm different, but so much more impactful for them to see our lives and live our lives with us. And so it's important for us to spend time with our family.
That's good. Yeah, like 1 Timothy 2:4 says, like, the Lord is the one, he desires all to come to know him, to come to the knowledge of him, right? So I want what the Lord desires. He desires that my parents, my family be saved. And so I want that too. So that presses me forward in obedience to him to engage those awkward times, to have the awkward dinner conversations, the awkward, like, my dad's going to ask me to pray because he knows I'm a Christian but doesn't believe it. Just these weird things that happen to engage all that, because the hope is one day, he will come to know him.
That's good, guys. So try to imagine folks who are probably really nervous for Thanksgiving and Christmas, knowing that they're going to be amongst many unbelievers. What advice would you give them, given that they may just be dreading this time, but they realize, man, what an opportunity. What type of advice would you give them?
You know, I would say prayer, and then also even just proactively thinking how they can, when they enter the house and when they're with their family, how can they go there to serve and love? What does that look like? So even like intentionally planning, how am I going to serve my family and love my family well? How can I demonstrate the gospel to my family over Christmas? So planning, being proactive. Our daughter is a believer and came home a week ago to spend some time with us, and some of her younger siblings are not saved. And she was very intentional to have one-on-one time with each of the kids. And so she had planned that ahead of time and then acted on it. And it was such a blessing to the younger siblings. And so I think planning ahead of time, what does that look like? And how can I serve them and show them Christ?
Yeah. And it goes back to something you said about that proximity. if I'm not with them, how can I know the best way to serve them, right? Mm-hmm. So that affirms what you said earlier. How about you, Sam?
Yeah, I have a long list of those, so I don't know if I can go through all of that. Probably not, but I think of Romans 8 has been an encouragement for this for me, right? And there's a lot of verses there in 12 and on, but verse 18 says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed." And so there's going to be suffering. It's going to be difficult. I'm going to be nervous and anxious, and I have to trust that this pales in comparison to the future glory. And so, go with that mindset that like, this is a blip, like this is going to hurt, but this is a blip. And, I would also say like, be honest about how you feel. Like there's no room for people to just be some strong warrior about this. Like, oh, I feel fine. My dad's not a believer. That's okay. Like if you are sad about that, be honest with the Lord. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with your fellow believers, your growth group. Tell them about it so they can pray with you. And that will help you to trust the Lord in this. And I would also say like two other things, like don't be afraid to ask hard questions. So if engaging conversations with family, sometimes it's just easy to ask questions. You can set yourself a goal when you go, like Laura was talking about with a plan. Like maybe your goal is not to, maybe you have antagonistic family. You can't preach the whole gospel in a articulate way the first time you see them. So maybe set a small goal where you can say, I'm going to try to have a conversation, a spiritual conversation, just something that I'm going through. I can share what I've been learning, just one small thing and work towards that. Because I think we have to recognize this is a slow process. I'm not going to have one Thanksgiving and all of a sudden everything's going to change, you know? So like recognize this is a slow process. Be honest about these things and trust the Lord that, you know, he's gonna bring it and make it all right in the end.
Yeah. Go ahead, Laura.
I think that's so good, Sam. Like even having realistic expectations. I mean, like you had said earlier, we put this pressure on ourselves that we're the ones who are gonna save our family. And it's not us, it's the Lord. But being faithful in that to share the gospel and have realistic expectations when we go.
Yeah.
You know,
it's good.
There might be a great, impactful gospel conversation this trip. There might not be, but the Lord is sovereign and over all of that.
Yeah. So. You know, it reminds me a lot of in 2 Corinthians, as it talks about that we're a new creation. And it says, all this is from God. Even the transformation that took place in our lives, that came from the Lord. And so just affirming everything here, we have to rely on God's power to lead us. And also know that it's going to be God's power that's going to transform them. And so you all have been so encouraging. So just a few things you've said, prayer, serve, love, remember what's to come, be honest and have realistic goals. So Sam and Laura, what about those who are looking forward to seeing their family? Like being around their family, it's not challenging. What advice would you give them?
Yeah, my family are not opposed to the gospel. They're not saved, but they're not opposed to the gospel. And so I think for me, when I go, I try to weave the gospel into our conversation. I try to create opportunities to share the Lord with them in our, you know, holidays.
So there's a level of intentionality there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's good. That's good. Sam, anything you would add to that?
Yeah, I mean, you have an opportunity there. Like half my family is antagonistic, half is not. And so the other half can be able to share the gospel with them multiple times. So just keep using those opportunities. Be encouraged that you have that opportunity. Be thankful that it's not difficult.
You guys have so much experience just in this regard. Like what are some stories that come to mind in just your time with your family? Of you all interacting and sharing the gospel. Anything comes to mind?
My mother and father, they're divorced. And when she left, she didn't talk to me for about over a year. I tried to reach out to her, but she just wouldn't like respond. I think she was just kind of felt a little shame, wasn't sure how I would respond because she knew I was a believer. I was just trying to be loving and understand the situation. Well, she finally reached back out, and so we met in person. It's been like over a year since we saw each other, and we met. I was working out at this camp in Brevard, North Carolina, and on my break in between this summer camp, she came. She got me this gift. It's called a boogie board.
Okay.
And it's where you can like write or draw on it and then just press a button and deletes everything. So it's like a digital like chalkboard, but you press a button and just removes everything. I use it a lot. We use it at our house a lot. And anyways, so my mom got this as a gift for me. She just thought it would be cool. I can't remember why she got it as a gift, but anyways, it was really cool. And so I opened it up and I just immediately started drawing the three circles. So it's like the first conversation with my mother in a long time. And I drew the three circles and I was trying to explain to her, like, this is what I have a friend of mine who doesn't know any English. And he draws pictures to try to convey what he's trying to say. And so I was trying to convey something to him. This is what I conveyed. And I told him about, shared the gospel with her. And she got distracted toward the end of the conversation because we were looking for some wildlife and she saw something. She immediately got up and took a picture. So I was like, man. But since then, we've had so many conversations. She's come to the seminary for a graduation once. And the preacher at the sermon said, those who don't know Jesus and have never heard the gospel before are dying, going to hell. Mm. And so she asked a question about that, and we talked for like 2 hours, her her husband. That's just good. Every kind of question came up. They were very civil about it. Mm. And we got to have those opportunities so many times. And what was so sweet is that we were able to talk about the gospel and invite them to it like several times in 2 hours. And so I've been really encouraged. The Lord's already opened that door. She's always said no, but it's there.
Yeah, you know, I for myself, I'm thinking about so I'm the youngest of three. I was the first brother to become a believer. And so when I became a believer in 2006, I kept spending time with him and sharing with him about Jesus. And I remember we had a very just like straight up conversation, like, hey, are you aware of what's going to happen if you don't place your trust in Jesus? And he said, yeah, I know, I'm probably going to hell. And I'm like, man, he clearly doesn't understand. And so fast forward a little bit, whenever he would visit me, I'm like, hey, if you're coming, you're going to have to come to church with me. So whenever he came, we went to church together and I always had to rush. I'm like, hey, let's go. It was in 2019, I went to visit my brother and my brother was getting ready to go to church on his own volition. And he was encouraging me and rushing me to go to church. And so I got to the church and he hadn't told me he was a believer at that point. My brother gave his life to the Lord. And so just to see that progression, was such an encouragement. So I'm thinking, folks, just be present and be aware, be sensitive to the opportunities that we have in sharing this good news. So just thinking about our brothers and sisters here at Imago Dei, how can other brothers and sisters from the church be an encouragement to people who are navigating this reality?
One thing for me is recognizing that I felt encouraged by the church is recognizing this reality that the church is a family, right? Like when the gospel comes to people, it brings you into a body of believers. And it doesn't just like bring families together. I think it really expands our definition of family. Like I may not have a believing mother, father, or brother, but I have so many brothers and sisters in this room. Yeah. And so—
I'm your brother.
Yeah. Amen, man. Absolutely you are. And so not that we can just replace our biological family, but at the same time, like this is the household of faith, right? And so I may not feel like I have this family I can go to. They're so antagonistic. We have so much division because of it. But I have the church family. And so I would say, like, I see, like, come around these people, be brothers and sisters to them. Like, you know what the Bible say about doing that. Be a brother, be a sister, encourage them, love them, pour into them.
Nice. Anything you would add, Laura?
I completely agree.
That's good. Laura, Sam, I could talk to you guys for maybe several more hours, but I think we have a time limit here. And I just want to say thank you so much for your time. And for those listening, I hope this has been an encouraging discussion for you all. Thanks, everyone.